Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. My name is Jason. I'm joined this week by my buddy Kevin. Just the two of us today, but, you know, you'll have that sometimes. But here we are. Kevin, how you doing, sir?
Good.
That's all I got to say about that. If you're new to the show, let me introduce us. We are the Gimmick Minute Wrestling Podcast. We are a podcast for the fans, by fans. We don't believe in dirt sheet gossip. We don't get caught up in all the rumor and innuendo. We have suffered through some very lean years of professional wrestling to come out on the other end where we have so much to talk about, so much to enjoy about what's going on right now. We believe that wrestling should be fun. You should be able to enjoy what you're watching. We believe that Steiner math should be taught in schools. We believe in Joe Hendry. We also believe in the Triple H era. So here we are. We are here to talk about what's going on in professional wrestling right now, right this week, and everything that's happened, AEW, WWE. And we're going to talk a little bit of TNA and then kind of move on. And I want to dig I do want to dig in a little bit to the WWE draft as well, because that happened over the last week. And I'll be honest with you, like, As good as things are in WWE right now, that draft needs some work. So we're going to kind of dig into that. So anyway, that being said, welcome to the show. Kevin, you didn't pick up on my my part in the intro I wanted you to participate in. So maybe you are not hip to what is going on and what is sweeping the nation right now. If I
Joe Hendry stuff?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I kind of chuckled. Like, I saw, like,
I was reading. I was hoping for the clap. I was hoping when I said we believe in Joe Hendry, I was hoping for the clap, but you know, it didn't happen.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the Steiner match, because honestly, what the other day was the anniversary of that. So
yeah, I saw it. So I think that's why it was fresh in my head. But if I were to tell you, if I were to come on here and tell you, if you had no idea, like if you thinking about pro wrestling, that there's a pro wrestler out there that has the number one song on iTunes in the UK, and he was trending as high as 14 last I looked in the US, and that wrestler was not a part of WWE or AEW, you wouldn't believe it, right? But here we are, a TNA wrestler, Joe Hendry, a guy that probably a lot of people had never even heard of until recently, now has this song that has gone completely viral on TikTok, and it's been completely blowing up the internet, and so many people have made memes and, like, different things with it. I've seen some that are, like, really well done. I think I sent you the one with the CM Punk from WrestleMania, where they kind of replaced him with the Damian Priest. Like, that one was really well done, and there's been a few others, but it's funny too, because I've been watching a little bit more TNA over the last probably like 4 weeks. Over the last month, I've been actually kind of recording the show, taking some time and watching it, paying some attention. And I remember seeing this guy and I heard his song and I was like, then a couple days later, the shit was stuck in my head. And I was like, what is that? Like, where have I heard that? And then all of a sudden it started popping up on TikTok. So I was like, oh. And it really, you can also really kind of point to AJ Francis, you know, formerly Top Dollar in WWE, as kind of the main catalyst for this taking off, because it's been his rivalry, like his group's rivalry with Joe Hendry, that's kind of helped kind of push this up to the mainstream. It's pretty incredible, honestly. Right? I don't know, what do you think?
I've only seen little bits and pieces of, like, the song and everything or whatever. Like, I know of Joe Hendry. I've seen some of his work. I've seen some of the, matches and stuff he's had in TNA here or there or whatever. So, hey, I mean, good on him. You know what I mean? And yeah. If anything, it's good on him and good on TNA. Like, I honestly, you know, if we want to speak about TNA, like, I don't think I've ever... Even the last, I don't know how many years, whatever, I don't have too big of a problem with TNA.
No.
It kind of sucks the whole Scott D'Amore leaving thing. Like, I really liked him. I thought he was a great mind. And I really liked the whole, I love that they went back to TNA. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
go back
and
to the
they
roots.
Just kind of, completely rebranded themselves. You know what I mean? Like, they do it smart. They've always done the smaller shows. They've always done the small arenas. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, you're gonna pack in the place. You know, money. Let's face it, they've been around forever.
Yeah.
So they've got to be. I mean, I know there's been years of different entities and stuff of losing money, this and that, but they've got to be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So. Hey, good on them.
They benefited from a lot of luck. You know, it's passed ownership a number of times, and a lot of times it's being bought by people that are financially backed. So there's definitely some luck in there too. And you know, it's had different iterations, where it went from TNA to Impact, now back to TNA. But you know, and there's big feuds with Billy Corgan trying to buy it and stuff like that, and that not going through, and then he started his own thing. But yeah, man, I mean, they got some talented people on there. You know, Jordan Grace comes to mind. You know, Matt Hardy's there now, and he's, you know, looks like he's going to feud with Moose for the championship. Nick Nemeth is there doing some good things. And, you know, they got a couple cool factions. So, like, Moose has, what's their, they're called the System, right? With Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, Brian Myers. Yeah, I mean, you got, who else? There's, I can't think off the top of my head. But yeah, then they definitely do have, you know, they have talent. And, you know, it's probably not something, like I said, like, you know, because there is always so much wrestling on that, like, I could sit and watch all the time or whatever. But, you know, I mean, once in a while, you enjoy it and kind of, you know, tune into them. So.
And you got some former WWE talents that are doing some really good stuff, too. Mustafa Ali comes to mind. You got, you know, former Dana Brooke, who goes by Ash by Elegance there. She's doing, you know, some really good stuff. She had a match.
I think Mustafa Ali's the X Division champ, too.
Yeah, and they were doing this gimmick on Thursday where he was trying to find a number one contender. And he had his character is very political. Like, I think it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek, like, he's politicking to, like, find opponents and different things like that. But he had a thing where they had a ballot box, and, you know, so everybody could come in and put whoever's name they think should face him in the ballot box. I think his hope was that everybody would put their own name, so that way nobody would be the challenger. But then there was one, Santino, who's there. That's the other thing. Santino Marella is their GM or their commissioner, which is hilarious. And he brings so much levity to the show. And at one point he got distracted and some guys came in and stuffed the ballot box. So the one guy had like 68 votes or something. So then he went into election fraud and, you know, it shouldn't matter. Like, it's different things like that. But yeah, man, there's some good stuff going on over there. And the Joe Henry thing, I think, just puts a little bit bigger spotlight on it, which is awesome. And that song is really annoyingly catchy. The other thing that happened too, you know, speaking of Joe Henry, like, they had AJ Francis was out on stage being interviewed by, I forget who the female's name is that does her interviewing. But she said, like, well, we could say his name, and then all of a sudden the music hit, say his name and he appears. And when the camera panned out, Joe Hendry was standing next to the girl, and they both hit the clap at the same time. Oh my and it God, was it freaking awesome. Like, it just, you know, all of a sudden he just appeared right there. And AJ, because AJ and the other guys that he was with, like, I think Rich Swann is a part of his thing, and then he just brings in like a celebrity, like, every time, because they're in Vegas now for their show. Yeah. So he just brings in a celebrity with him, and his thing is called First Class. So then he asked this celebrity guest, like, hey, since you've been hanging out with us, how have your accommodations been? Oh, they've been first class all the way. You know what I mean? So it's like a nice little gimmick there. But anyway, so they, as soon as the music hits, they turn and they're looking at the Tron and looking at the entrance. So then when they turn around, he's standing there hitting the clap. It was just pretty cool. It was well done. So, but yeah, man, like, it's good stuff. So I had to give a little bit of a shout out to TNA, because that Joe Hendry thing is sweeping TikTok, it's sweeping social media, and it's been really entertaining. So kudos to them, and hopefully that brings more eyeballs to them and helps grow that promotion even more. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want, right? We don't want negative shit going on in the pro wrestling business. Like, we want these companies to succeed, because, you know, WWE can't have everybody, right? They only have so much TV time. So having more companies that have an audience where people can go and see these people. So if you really like Mustafa Ali and he's no longer with WWE, or Nick Nemeth, formerly Dolph Ziggler, no longer with WWE, and you want to watch them, now you have a place to watch them, because AEW only has so much TV time. WWE only has so much TV time. And I will say, Kevin, I don't know if you watched it last night.
Okay, so I want to talk about last night's episode.
Okay.
But go ahead. Go ahead.
I was a little critical over what happened 2 weeks ago when they beat up Tony Khan.
Yeah.
And just and even, like, I heard a couple other people, a few other shows. I don't remember if it was Kevin Nash or Eric Bischoff, but I think it was Kevin Nash brought up a really good point. That's shit that Punk got fired for less than that. So it's like these guys put their hands on him. Why wouldn't they be fired? Like, it just kind of, the whole basis of the story that they're doing just seemed really right. convoluted and very stupid and not very thought out. But then last night happened. I like how they address that they have ironclad contracts, so Tony Khan can't do anything to them. And I like the whole thing with Kenny Omega, man. Like, when he came out was talking about how, you know, everything that he's been through and that he's fighting his way back. And then for what to have happen, what happened, man, that brought so much heat to those guys.
Oh, yeah. And I will say this, too. So, and last night is the first time in a while I was able to kind of sit down and watch pretty much almost the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
I flipped back and forth and did this and that. But I pretty much got the gist of the whole show. And I want to get to the ending here in a second. First things first. I don't know about you. I like Christian being Swerve's next challenger.
I thought that was I thought that was great too.
Because I know he's a veteran, he's not a young guy, that's not, but he is a name. He is a hot heel. Mm-hmm. He came out, didn't say a word, and you know what I mean, and put a stamp on this rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to also bring, you know, notoriety to another challenge. You know what I mean? Basically, what they're doing is they're not setting up Swerve to just, you know, his championship run to start dying all of a sudden. If you put Swerve with, like, I don't know, like if Brian Cage was his next challenger. No offense to Brian Cage. I'm just saying.
There's just
There's just no build. There's no nothing. Somebody like Christian.
Or Lance Archer, which is what they would normally do.
Yeah. No, but that's the truth. Or if it was a Claudio or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing to that. Christian, because of his entourage and just because of how villainous he is and will do anything for, you know, be champion or whatever, it makes it very believable that Christian could legit take the title from him.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it's going to, but yeah. I really like that as the next challenger. I'm glad, you know, I'm glad it wasn't like Okada. Or even, you know what I mean?
Or something even like Ospreay, that. Or you know what I mean? Like,
Something right, yeah. Even Ospreay, a big name like him, like, you don't throw that in it right away.
No.
Because this has the potential for a match or two, you know what I mean? Maybe a pay-per-view or two.
Well, and there's the potential matches with Nick Wayne, there's the potential matches And I like how they tied back to what Swerve did to Nick Wayne, too, a number of months ago. So, like, they brought that storyline up and kind of made that part of his motivation for wanting to go after him. I thought that was done brilliantly. Real quick, though, that happened pretty early on in the show, but did you see the very opening of the show when Tony Khan was on the screen talking about how he wasn't going to be able to be at Dynamite because of his injuries?
I missed that. Okay. I missed that. I turned it on as Swerve was coming out.
Okay, so the show opened with Tony Khan basically, you know, explaining what happened last week and that he's not medically cleared to travel, so he's remote from Jacksonville. And then all of a sudden the feed cuts off and it goes to the Young Bucks in the production truck, like, "Oh, Tony, we can't hear you. I told you this was a bad idea. Like, that was just dumb to and then they're like, "All right, hit the new intro." And the intro to Dynamite was all Elite highlights. So, like, they had the music playing, but it was all highlights from those guys, Okada, Jack Perry, and those hilarious. Two. It was great. It was very well done.
I do like what they've been doing on Twitter or X. You know, they've been mocking him with the, "What a great 3 hours and the return of Kenny Omega." You know what I mean? Like, they're so far, you know what I mean? Like, doing a really good job with it. But anyway, get back to the show. I was actually semi entertained by the Jericho match. It probably went about five minutes too long or whatever, but like it was a fun match, entertaining.
It was weird to see him in short tights again.
Yeah, I know. Poor Jericho, man. He fluctuates up and down so bad. So, but yeah, I like this whole
waving with the title belt and didn't get the clean win. Taz on commentary was really good too. Like Taz was getting really, really hot during
commentary. The only thing I didn't like about it is that I felt like with Taz, he was more upset about Jericho putting a sticker over his name on the belt than he was about his son being taken out.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? He kind of said, though, Hook can take care of himself. Hook's going to be back.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, I think he's coming at it from, I know my son, he's gonna be back. But yeah.
Yeah. As much as people don't care about the FTW title, they're almost trying to give it some credibility.
But there's so many damn fucking titles on that show, man. Like, everybody walks out.
I mean, it's not sanctioned. So
yeah, right.
at least they unified the Ring of Honor.
The fake belt isn't sanctioned.
Yeah, at least they unified the six man belts.
Yeah, that's true. Both. I guess.
Anyway,
but then you got Moxley coming out as the IWGP champion, and then you got people bringing
AAA
belts out. There's just so many different championship belts. It just gets
and like I said, I think he's such a New Japan mark. If you look at New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I literally saw this the other day because Belts by Dan, who's a belt maker, literally put a photo of here's a photo of all 13 New Japan championships, New Japan. And that's consolidating a couple of but they literally have 13 champions. So I feel like Tony Khan does that because he's just such a New Japan mark. Anyway, but okay, the whole ending with Kenny.
Yes.
Awesome seeing him back. Looks great. It's quite obvious, and some stuff I've read that he's cleared to do some physicality, just not wrestle yet.
When he hit that slide into the German, I was like, oh, he's okay. When he did that running, he did a real quick running slide, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, he's got to be much better now, because there's no way somebody with a colostomy bag or diverticulitis is going to be able to pull that shit off.
And I think he's probably, like I said, he's okay. He's just probably, they're probably still, I'm sure something happens. But he's such a private person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't get on and say, hey, look at me, I'm about to have this. You know what I mean? Which is cool because he's very, keeping cape.
Yeah, he's done a great job on his, I guess he has a streaming channel that he's very interactive with fans. And he's been very good about talking about how sick and stuff that he was and how he's not clear. He just maybe a week ago was talking about how bad everything was and how he's not cleared and that, it's going to be a long time before he can get back.
And it is true. They said he was 24 hours away from being dead.
Yeah.
If he didn't, and I will say too, I give him, and this is why he's such a likable and respected, and why I think I like him so much, is that somebody on his Twitch channel or whatever started bringing up Roman Reigns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah.
Will people just stop? He loves Roman. You know what I mean? He respects.
Yeah, I will tolerate no Roman Reigns negativity on my feed. And
the fact that he said, I wish I was portrayed as a champ. He's like, I should have been portrayed. That's how I should have been portrayed as champion.
Yeah.
And I would, because that's how he was in New Japan, portrayed as when he was champion. So it was almost a jealousy thing, but a good jealousy thing. Mm-hmm. So, he's not one to go on and this or that or whatever. So yeah, hopefully when Okada came out, like I said, for the fucking hardcore marks.
Yeah.
The seven star, I mean, that was the seven star match.
Mm.
So that's definitely going to happen somewhere. And that's going to be, especially if Kenny's back to 100%, they both bring their A game. Like, that has potential for, hopefully it does. Hopefully it's not an AJ Styles Nakamura disappointment,
right?
where they had a six star match and then WrestleMania was not very good. Yeah. Their feud was okay, but Nakamura turned.
If that match happens in the Triple H era, I think it's a different match entirely.
Oh yeah,
they have time. Yeah. It's different. Like,
did you hear? Yeah, you give him 30 minutes.
Did you hear Gunther was interviewed recently, and he was talking about how he was very close to leaving WWE, wasn't very happy, you know, because he needs that, like, in-ring time to, like, really kind of, like, tell the story and stuff like that, and how, you know, Triple H taking over completely changed everything for him. Like, he was able to, you know, it basically kept him there and everything, mm-hmm. So. But yeah, anyway.
But yeah, I mean, but... Okay, and just to wrap this up real quick so we can move on.
Yeah.
Last night I got one of those old, like, we're talking about being wrestling fans, and especially when we were younger, not knowing shit going on and just having fun and watching. The ending of that show, like, I was at one point, like, catching the ending because I was trying to go in the kitchen to get something. I was coming back, but, like, I stopped dead in my tracks before I went in the kitchen to watch the whole ending. And then into Rampage when they flipped him over off the stretcher.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, standing there. I got such a, like, throwback of, like, just maybe watching. There's times where, you know, like,
Earthquake squashing Hulk Hogan or Damien or something.
No, just like, I don't know. It wasn't even that. It was just like, I think back to trying to catch ECW on Channel 29 on Scramble UHF channel, and like the vibe of just how the show was, and then you see something that just was like, oh, what the, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
And, but just like it, I don't know. Like, I really, the whole ending, especially the whole ending, the whole angle and everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They blurred the lines very well. Very well.
Yeah.
So,
like, I think Jungle Boy's a piece of shit, and I really think he's a piece of shit now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they really solidified themselves as heels too.
I love that they turned Okada heel too.
Yeah,
because he's such a huge baby face. So, you know what I mean? So, like, that's, yeah, down the road, that's there's a lot of it with FTR. Mm-hmm. You know, Hangman's going to be coming back soon.
And who would have thought FTR would be the ones to make the save too?
I think just probably because the whole losing to the Young Bucks.
Yeah, but it's just kind of funny, like, rivalry with everything that kind of happened from before. It's like, oh wow, all of a sudden, like, they're making the save for Kenny, which is cool though. But yeah, it made the most sense. There was no, I'm surprised, and that's the thing. Like, when Tony Khan, they beat up Tony, where the fuck was everybody? Why didn't you know? It was like there's some logic issues in some of what they did, but
I do want to backtrack one last thing. It does have me intrigued. Is Don Callis and Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was like, he came down and, like, calmed him down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and like, he's not the heel.
And I enjoyed the whole Trent Beretta turning on them. Like, that's cool. I'm curious, like, you know, he said that fight, that street fight, was Chuck Taylor's last match. Did he suffer some sort of, like, career-ending thing and he just wanted one last blow off or something? Like, I was surprised by that.
I actually meant to look into that, and I never did. So,
but they definitely played that up on Dynamite that was his last match last week on, was it Rampage or Collision, when they had that parking lot brawl.
But, yeah,
man, like, yeah, dude, it's like they have some good things going on. They have some momentum. Now let's hope they keep it up and keep building from there, because they, you know, I was a little, you know, maybe it's just because Tony Khan is an on-screen character to me, just kind of is like nails on the chalkboard. So maybe last week didn't quite hit for me, but this week definitely did. What they did to Kenny, how brutal of an attack that was, how they left him laying, like, that was some heat, and that makes you want to watch next week to find out what happens. And what happened with Swerve and Christian, that makes you want to come back next week to see what's going to happen. And Swerve said he's not coming alone. So who's Swerve bringing with him? I mean, I could guess maybe Keith Lee, if Keith Lee's finally healthy enough to be in there. Or, you know, maybe there's somebody else that he's bringing. Who knows? Maybe because AJ Francis isn't contracted anywhere, he can go wherever he wants. Maybe he shows up in AEW for a small run or something like that and helps out Swerve. I don't know what kind of terms their relationship is on. I've heard, like, mixed things. I've heard that they were tight, but then I've also heard that they're not. So maybe not, but who knows, man? Like, it would be interesting to see what happens. Maybe he brings Hangman back. Who knows? Who knows what the fuck's going to happen at this point? But hopefully they just continue to build on the momentum that they created. This week of Dynamite, like you, I watched the whole show. One of my favorite episodes of Dynamite ever. I thought top to bottom, it was a very solid show. And it didn't have any outrageous wrestling matches that, you know, guys did crazy, outlandish moves. And, you know, it's like, we probably should not kick out of finishers on Dynamite. I don't know. Maybe save that for like big shows.
Even with the FTW rules match, like the hockey pucks, that was cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and because guess what? That's believable. Like, you land on one of those.
Oh, that's
like
when
when Jericho did that code breaker, he was this close. There was one straggler that was by itself, and he was like this close to like landing on it.
Yeah.
Like, on accident. So.
Yeah, it kind of felt good. Didn't he chuck one of them at his head, too?
I think so, yeah.
That must have been the styrofoam one.
He went like this.
Anyway, all right. So, yeah, that's AEW talk. So, moving on to WWE. So, over the last week, we had the WWE draft. And I don't have, like, the results. There wasn't really a lot of changes. But,
yeah,
you know, and I get WWE, you know, WrestleMania was such a high, and of course there's going to be a little bit of a come down from that. In the last 2 weeks, they've also been going head to head with the NBA playoffs. So I understand, like, you know, maybe you don't want to put out your A show because you know you're not getting a full audience. You know, so much was made about, oh, Raw and SmackDown combined lost a million views. Okay, those million people, 1.2 million people were watching the NBA finals. Like, that's...
And SmackDown still been getting, like, over 2 million viewers last week.
Yeah, so they might have lost a little bit, but it's not for anything other than the fact that there's just other stuff to watch. Like, that's what happens, unfortunately. But you know, but they've had this draft, and I thought the build-up to it was really good. But the execution of it, I just am not a fan of. What do you think? Like, do you like how they did it?
I don't know if I've ever really liked how they've ever done it.
Like, I mean, there's been times where they would have just surprise announcements.
I take that back, yes. Like the year when Cena was the WWE champion and got drafted to Raw, both champions were on Raw, that was cool. But then that stuff started getting predictable with, like, oh, this champion got drafted here, and then all of a sudden this champion gets here.
Yeah.
Which
is why they took the champions out of it this time. But here's my main gripe about it, right? There's no suspense to it. They have like a representative from each show come out and they read off one by one with this pick, Raw takes this person. Well, what if the person next to you had that person on their card for their next pick? You know what I mean? Like, there should be some sort of drama with that. Like, oh, shit, we were taking that guy. Now what are we going to... You know what I mean? Like, it's just dumb to, like... It's so formulaic and it's so... Like, it's almost like, oh, you already know what's happening. You're just informing us. So there's not, like, a drama or suspense to it at all. It's just like, oh, this is what's happening now. Okay, cool.
So what they should do... What I would like to do is if they literally made it a premium live event,
okay,
and had an audience, 5,000 people or whatever, you know what I mean? It could be a full sale or, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. You could have mostly extras and marks, you know what I mean?
There. Yeah.
You could sell some tickets. People would probably buy tickets to it and do it like an actual draft.
That's like, definitely a good way to go about it, yeah.
Just like actual NFL draft, just say okay, like, right from the get-go, these people are not in it. Here are the people that are eligible. There's going to be 10 rounds, you know what I mean? You could do interviews in between. You could have analysis. You could have, you know what I mean? There's so many ways of doing it. Like that, just going back and forth, you can look to this room, look to that. Here's SmackDown's room, here's Raw's room, and then just have Triple H do the first round, and then have like Michael Cole do the second round. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. have Pat McAfee do the next round. You know what I mean? Like the announcers, or a special. Okay, here comes the APA to do this pick. Here comes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think they could honestly. And it would only take, you could do it for 2 hours. You could draw it out.
And people don't want to watch, you know what I mean? Watch it, and people
don't. You only got a certain amount of, you know, you have 2 minutes per pick. Like the Rumble or something.
All right. So there's one positive thing I think they did, and that was the involvement of NXT. I liked how they did that with the NXT superstars all in the Performance Center set up. In the chairs, and then they would announce that pick, and they would get up, they'd be emotional. Shawn Michaels would come and bring him a hat, and then they would like do an interview and stuff like that. I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm. And that got me thinking, what if the draft was only about calling up stars from NXT? So if you want to keep the four, like, I like your idea of doing, like, just a PLE show. Like, I actually heard somebody else say that. I think Eric Bischoff and Conrad were talking about it. One of his listeners actually brought that up as an idea, and I thought that was great. And that's definitely a way to do it. But another way, if you want to keep it the same format as it is now, what if, like, each show got a number of draft picks? Or better yet, what if they competed for draft picks, right? So they had representatives from, maybe they had like one show where they had representatives from Raw versus SmackDown, and then the winners, like the winning side gets draft picks to pick people from NXT, right? So the rosters, Raw and SmackDown, how they are, stay how they are. But they have draft picks that they can earn. Or maybe they're just assigned a number of draft picks. And then maybe, you know, throughout the weeks leading up to the draft, they could have some NXT stars show up on Raw and SmackDown as scouting. You know what I mean? Like, put them up against, like, Raw superstars or SmackDown superstars and have, like, Pierce and Aldis around the ring, and maybe they have a representative and they have scouts, like, taking notes of the match or something like that. And then what they can do is use the Raw and the SmackDown roster as trade collateral. So if you want to move somebody from Raw to SmackDown, say, hey, I'll trade you Bron Breakker and Ilya Dragunov for, those are just two names I pulled out of nowhere, I don't know why, for your number one pick or your number three pick or something like that. Like, use it like that to shake up the roster. So you're only drafting the NXT people, but then you're trading other people to get more draft picks.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, something along those lines. Plus, like,
create some drama and some stakes with it, you know? Like,
yeah, like, and I honestly, like, I guess I feel like, if it, like, let's say starting next year, they're like, whatever you get drafted to, that's where you're at. If you want to go here or there, then you need to work it out with this person to get traded. You know what I mean? Like, you could do little things throughout the year where it's right. Like, Aldis can say, well, I really want Jey Uso. And then all of a sudden, Jey Uso gets traded for five people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could probably make it small enough, but still have it, like, involved throughout the year, you know what I mean? Especially if they want all of a sudden be like, well, let's switch him over here. I guess my other thing too is, like, and this is just me being picky, but I know all champions had to stay. To me, with Raw having the World Championship and World Tag Team Championships, I feel the U.S. title should be on Raw because the U.S. title has lineage to World Championships, WCW, which were always world championships.
I gotcha.
Whereas the Intercontinental title has lineage to the WWE championship and WWE tag team titles. That's my only, like...
That's a nitpicky thing, but I get it. Yeah, I get it. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, like, it just... I don't know. They got to do something, though, because the format that they have now just doesn't work at all. So whether they do a premium event like you were talking about, or, you know, just change it up in a different way, like, they got to do something, because it's just not... It's not compelling the way it is now.
I don't think it needs to be done every year. I think it should just be done, like, if they absolutely thought, like, okay, we need to shake something
up. Yeah. But then that goes back to having, you know, just the NXT picks, you know, that having, like, people that they can trade is a good way to shake it up. Like, I'll send you these guys for these guys, and maybe you throw in a draft pick with that or something like that. So it's like, you know, just different things that they can do there. And then to your point, too, they can lobby for trades, and they could say, hey, man, I'm not really feeling it over here. I want to go over there. And then it becomes more of a thing. Like, it's kind of funny, too, because it's like if you do the My GM mode on WWE 2K24, like, when you finish a year, you get trade offers from the other GMs. So it's like they trade – they'll offer you – you know, superstar for superstar, and they'll even throw in, like, maybe some cash options or something like that with it.
And it should be another thing could be, too, is that, like, okay, here's the Raw roster, here's the SmackDown roster, pre-draft, right?
Mm.
Anybody's fair game, but there's only going to be 10 picks each.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, do you want to lock somebody in, or do you want to get somebody? So basically, if you're not drafted, you stay where you're at.
Yeah. Also do a thing, too, where if you don't get drafted, you go back down to NXT, and then if you don't get called back up, maybe you're fired. You know what I mean?
Like, I just don't like, no offense to, like, Natalya. Like, Natalya shouldn't be drafted before, like, Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why CM Punk's going in the fourth round?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do like how CM Punk got drafted before McIntyre, though. That was a nice touch on their storyline. You know, and that's the thing, like, as the draft wasn't a hit for me, but there was some really good stuff that happened on WWE programming. Raw, specifically, I thought was a really entertaining show. You had Logan Paul show up, he brought Patrick Mahomes in. Did you see that whole segment with them in Judgment Day?
I did,
with
Jay,
where JD got punched in the head?
Did you see the memes of Finn Balor's face?
Yeah.
It's like... Oh my god!
And, like, what did Priest say when he saw it? He's like, "Hey, Trump!"
He's like, "Ah."
What made that segment, though, even better was the camera angle that they had when JD went down, showing Logan Paul and Finn's reaction, and then you get Jay just kind of tiptoeing around the back of it and nudging Finn, and like that was really good. And then you got Braun Strowman returning right after that, which was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of, so, you know, everybody kind of thought that he was going to be a part of the Uncle Howdy, you know, group coming back, you know, the Wyatt Six or whatever they're going to call it. Eric Rowan officially re-signed with WWE. That was announced a couple of days ago. So, you know, there's a lot of thought that he might be in it. But then I guess part of the latest tease was a series of letters. And it was like, you... R, J, D, and then it was like 5 + 1, and then there was an A after, or something like that. So there was, like, it was Uncle, so people thought it was Uncle Howdy, Dexter Loomis, Joe Gacy, Eric Redbeard, or Eric Rowan, and then Alexa Bliss.
Hmm.
So that's kind of what people were thinking. And I was like, I mean, that's interesting, but I don't know. Like, Dexter and Gacy don't really have a history there where Braun does, but it seems like Braun might be doing his own thing if he's coming back and helping out Ricochet. So, yeah. Oh, and speaking of Braun, if you want any more proof that Vince McMahon has nothing to do with WWE, look no further than the Monday Night Raw roster, which features Bron Breakker, Braun Strowman, and Bronson Reed. That shit would yes. never happen if Vince McMahon were around.
No, as of what, a week ago, like, Vince is officially 100%, like...
Yeah, he cut ties completely.
Not a part at all, so...
Yeah. And there, somebody took a video of him going into like a restaurant in New York.
I saw that.
He looked bad. I mean, he had back surgery less than 6 months ago, so maybe he's still recovering from that.
Somebody said he's just pulling a Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein wasn't 80 years old though. Like, there's a difference.
Oh, I know. I was just joking.
But that was the thing, like, when he was doing the steroid trial, all of a sudden he was walking with a neck brace, but yeah. He was walking very confidently with that neck brace. He wasn't walking very confidently with that cane, but...
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know why... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead. What were you saying?
Again, this is completely off the rails, completely not talking about anything, but just a funny episode of Something to Wrestle... If anybody wants to go out and listen to, find the King of the Ring 1994. I listened to, they had a King of the Ring remix the other day. I was doing a bunch of outside work, so I needed something to listen to for a while. And it covered the, I think, 94 to 96 King of the Rings. And listening to Bruce and stuff talk about the 94, because the 94 King of the Ring was one of Art Donovan. He kept saying, how much does this guy weigh? How much does this guy weigh? But Vince was also not there. So Bruce was pretty much running the show. And just the stories he tells about just how the whole show was just a fucking disaster. He'd been giving him so much shit. Sorry, I don't know why I thought that.
Good. I'll have to go back and listen to that. I got some yard work to do, so that would be a good time.
Yeah. It just, I don't think this came out recently, or I'm sure you can find it, but.
I was going to say, speaking of neck braces, we talked about Tony Khan being in the draft war room wearing the neck brace, selling the kayfabe thing. Thought that was cool, right? The issue I had is when he was interviewed by Rich Eisen on NFL Network. He took it upon himself in this interview to talk about AEW, which is good. That's what he needed to do. But then he started talking about being the challenger brand and AEW being the Pepsi to WWE's Coke. But then said that they're the evil corporation and then compared them to Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
You have a national spotlight to talk about your company and introduce that company to millions of people that probably don't even know it exists. And you want to take that time, that valuable, precious time, to compare WWE to Harvey Weinstein. What is that getting you? You're not going to hurt them no matter what you say. It's pointless. Like, quit trying to hurt them and help yourself. Like, it just blows my fucking mind, dude. Like, why? Why?
I know, and you got this whole good thing going on with the whole neck brace and everything, even though Pat McAfee and his buddies on the show completely fucking shit on them big time. Yeah, I don't know. If I would have hurt my neck, I wouldn't be moving my neck around like that. Yeah, so they kind of, like, got him good on that one. But,
yeah,
I don't know. Losing my voice enough to think about it, talk about it. Like, that's just... Yeah, I mean, how about Cody Rhodes, too? Like, Cody doesn't badmouth people or talk about anything. But he was pretty, like, offended and pissed off by the whole Tony Storm thing. You know what I mean? He's like... I love that he was like, not to be whatever, but he's like, if it wasn't for me, there would be no AEW.
Yeah.
And it's the truth.
What was the Tony Storm thing? I missed that.
Oh, at the Scrum? She completely made fun of Cody and the whole story. Like, don't worry, I'll never ask you to come out to the ring and, she was talking about, you know, basically WWE cinema and stupid stories and this and that, like completely shit on the whole, this is, you know, everything happened at WrestleMania. Yeah, she said to Tonya, I'll never have you come out, I'll never call you out to the ring with my family in the ring after I finish the story of this and that or whatever. So Cody was kind of pissed. He's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah. And that's the thing. Why are you spending time after your pay-per-view talking about them? Like, it just doesn't make sense, man.
Right. No. So, yeah, so Cody was, like, kind of halfway offended or whatever by it. But then he was like, yeah, by the way, if it wasn't for me, there would be no AEW. So.
Yeah, this shit wouldn't even exist, so. Oh, man. Yeah. It's like one of those things. You're not going to stop their momentum, so focus on creating your own instead of stopping theirs, because it's not going to happen. Like, it's just worry about your shit. Like, don't worry about them. Right. Like, I mean, I have to agree with Eric Bischoff. Just shut up and wrestle. Just shut up and do your thing. Like, quit trying to punch up. Like, it's not working, so why do it?
Yeah.
But that, you know, to that point, though, you know, like we talked about at the beginning, AEW was, Dynamite was a phenomenal show. Rampage was good, too, because it was just kind of an extension. I don't even think I honestly finished all of Rampage. I think I got through the end of Dynamite and watched a little bit more of it, but I'll have to go back and, because I guess Willow and Sky Blue had a pretty good match, so I'll have to go back and watch that. But, dude, real quick, though, speaking of Willow, Mercedes? A little bit exposed in AEW. Am I wrong about that?
Nope. Yeah, that. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Her promos have been not great at all.
No.
And I'm trying to think back to WWE.
Mike was right all along.
Yeah, I guess he was. I was trying to think back to WWE. Like, she had a great story with Bayley in NXT, and she had some, I guess, okay promo work there, but, you know, I guess that's more heavily scripted, but I can't think of a promo that she ever had that I was like, wow, yeah.
Yeah. Even the stuff with Bayley, there wasn't a lot of, I mean, there was some promo stuff, but, like, that was just, like, good in-ring work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, a little exposed, unfortunately, but. Well, man, I mean, we pretty much covered all the topics I wanted to cover today. Is there anything else that you could think of that I missed or we should bring up or mention? I know we didn't really go in detail on the shows, but I'm trying to get away from that as much as possible and just kind of talk about some of the fun stuff going on and some of the, you know, some of the other stuff, too. Like I said, I like the idea of, like, reconfiguring the draft, like, kind of brainstorming there. I would have liked to hear Riley's ideas, too, but he didn't join us, so. That's why Kevin and I's voices are so strained, because we're having to carry the load without Riley, so.
Yeah. Thanks, Riley.
Yeah. Killing us, man. But yeah, man. It was fun. So, nothing else you can think of, though?
Nope. I'm ready for bed. Bye.
All right, cool. Well, let's get Kevin tucked in and ready for bed. Thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hey, if you have an idea for how WWE could do the draft better, find us on X, at LiveYourGimmick. That's the at symbol followed by LiveYourGimmick.
I just want to say, too, a little backstory, a little behind the scenes for everybody on the show, is that no matter how many times when we're wrapping up the show and I say I'm ready for bed, I will say that Jason and I usually probably talk for another 20, 30 minutes afterwards. So.
That is very true.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So you can also leave a comment on what you think on our YouTube when I post this episode on YouTube. You could even leave a comment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, however you decide to listen to the show. So please subscribe, however you do, so it helps us with our algorithm. We definitely appreciate that. And continue to listen every week and share us with your friends. Have them listen, too. So I thought this was a fun episode. So, like I said, if anybody else has any ideas, as I drop my water bottle on my keyboard, if anybody else has any ideas on what WWE can do better to improve the draft. And I don't want comments like, oh, they should just get rid of it altogether. Let's try to be creative. Let's come up with a solution as opposed to just abolishing it altogether. But yeah, so that's all I got to say about that. But Again, thank you guys for listening. For Kevin, I am Jason, reminding all of you fans out there in the internet wrestling community to be a fan, but also live your gimmick. Goodbye, everybody.
And mwah. Bang. Shout out to Kenny Omega.